Almighty God, you pour out your Holy Spirit, your grace, your undeserved love on all who desire it. We pray that you would so bless each of us also this evening when we draw near to you. Prevent us from having cold hearts and wandering thoughts, so that with focused minds and kindled affections we may worship you now in spirit and in truth through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our light. Amen. Turn, if you would, please, to page 22 in the forward part of the supplement. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. But we are sorry for our transgressions and pray you of your bountiful mercy to be gracious and merciful unto us. Forgive us for Jesus' sake. Renew us by your Spirit and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, we may now approach the throne to find grace to help in time of need. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our scripture reading for this, our third final midweek Advent service, is found in the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, beginning there with the 42nd verse. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I did not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Here ends our scripture reading. Please rise. We respond with the Christmas confession of faith as found printed in the service bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, who sent his Son to be my Savior. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, my Lord, the long-promised Messiah, who came as foretold, being conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, announced by the angels, worshipped by the shepherds, adored by the wise men, who lived to suffer, die, and rise again, to free me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, who has brought me to faith in my Savior, and by whose continuous work in my heart, I rejoice in my salvation, walk in Christ, show forth his praises, and will one day live and reign with him in all eternity. Amen. May the love of God the Father fill you with wonder. May the sacrifice of God the Son fill you with gratitude, and may the gifts of the Holy Spirit, His continual indwelling, fill your heart with faith, hope, and light. Dear fellow Christians, we have been examining an aspect of Christ during this Advent season based on the theme, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. To this point, we have examined light itself and the creation of that light, in which Jesus also took part, He Himself being eternal, there present at the creation of all things. We then examined the darkness from which Christ our light has freed us, and we conclude this evening by examining also not just the darkness that our light, that Christ our light made disappear, but also what was then revealed when that darkness was taken away. So we continue our theme, Jesus, the light of the world, the revealer of life. The text that will guide us this evening is again found in John's Gospel, the first chapter, this evening, verses 6 through 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. These are the very words of our God, true and right in every aspect. They are truly then a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Trusting that this same God who sent His light into our world will also through this word illuminate also His truth to us, so we pray. Sanctify us by Your truth, O Lord. Your word is true. Amen. Parking in my usual spot, I had all my gear arranged on my person, ready to go. Binoculars, gun, my tree stand, had shoulder straps. I went through a mental checklist of everything I needed and everything was just right. I'd planned it well in advance. I was where I wanted to be, when I wanted to be. We were in a national forest and we'd bow hunted there, so we knew it very well, and I picked out not only the area but the exact tree. And it was at least an hour and a half before sunrise. Nobody else but the other guys I hunted with, and they were going different directions. I picked out a spot I didn't want to see any blaze orange, no people. So I picked out a spot that was more than a mile from the closest navigable road. And I set off through the woods as quietly as I could, even though it was well before shooting time and well before I needed to be there. And knowing that woods as well as I did, I eventually found, or actually went right to, not just the general area, but again to that tree, and as quietly as possible erected my tree stand and crawled up in the tree and sat down and got perfectly still and ready, and I still had more than half an hour before shooting time, an hour before sunset, almost pitch black, but just in the right place at the right time. We knew the deer movements. Everything was just as it should, not too hot, not too cold. And then as the woods began to awaken, that soft gray of that first hint of a coming sunrise, I noticed that the woods was quiet. Too quiet, as they say in the movies. Something seemed to be wrong, and I couldn't put my finger on it, not quite. But that sometimes happens, maybe the calm before the coming storm of all these deer running by. And then as the light began to dawn and it began to get brighter and brighter, I knew that something must be wrong because there was nothing. And it wasn't until several minutes later when everything became fully visible that I was finally able to look all around me, including behind me, And then I knew instantly what was wrong. It was absolutely huge. I'd never seen one in the woods there to that point, and actually never thereafter. I'd heard no sound, I'd seen no tracks. It was so close, I'm surprised I didn't smell the thing. In fact, it was totally oblivious to my presence. I could have easily turned around and shot it, and don't think I wasn't thinking about it. But I didn't. In fact, there is no open season on those in northern Wisconsin, so there's not much I could do but just sit there and watch the thing through the scope of my rifle, a 1965 Chevrolet Suburban. I have no idea how to this day they got there, but sometime in the night, some clod had driven across the woods in what I thought was unnavigable territory, over trees, crashing down bushes, over fallen trees, through clumps of brush, and had somehow found this spot in the woods, 50 feet in back of the stand where I had walked for all that time to get there. And he was, I don't know, long gone or asleep in there. I never did find out. And again, I was tempted to shoot the Suburban because on general principles, but I wasn't equipped to field dress it, and I dreaded the drag back to my car, so I just packed up my gear and walked home, embarrassed that I didn't see a Chevrolet Suburban parked 50 feet in back of my stand. The point is, darkness will do that, won't it? Darkness has an effect on things. It hides what's clearly there. It's obviously there in the light, but in the darkness, no clue. In fact, that darkness thing works both ways, doesn't it? Think back to when you were a child. Do you remember the monsters under your bed, the monsters in the closet? These wily creatures that were able to get out of sight as soon as that light came on? And in your mind, you would sit there and you would think about what is all in the room right now. Oh, and it helped a lot that we watched movies that taught us all kinds of things that were actually in the room right then. And you turn the light on and nothing's there. But that, again, works both ways, doesn't it? Because you can also kid yourself into believing that nothing is there, and you can be perfectly happy when there's something in the room with you, or when there actually is something there. Dark, again, does that to us. It confuses us. It makes us imagine a reality that doesn't match with what really is true. And we can come up with all kinds of things, wrong and right, but until we see, until we know, until that darkness is taken away, we're just guessing. What should we learn from this? The most important thing is that our imagined reality really does not change the truth, does it? What we think, what we imagine, doesn't make things so. And again, that's both ways again. Just because I imagine as a child that there's monsters in my room didn't make them there, didn't make that true. And if there really was a monster in my room, me believing there was nothing there wouldn't alter the fact. And then we apply that in, again, obviously, the spiritual realm. And we see we do need to come to terms with this. We do need to take a look at this. Because you and I are like artesian wells of these silly notions that we come up with. They occur to us all the time. And in our ignorance, if we're in the area of ignorance, we find it really easy to have our perception of reality be reality for us. And then the problem with that is then we determine our actions based on what we believe to be true, and that can get us into all kinds of problems. Fact is, unless things are enlightened for us, unless light drives out this darkness and shows us reality, then we're lost. Absolutely lost. terrifyingly so, because, again, if left to ourselves and our own ideas, we can go to some very, very strange places. We can miss obvious threats. We can run from threats that aren't even there. And this is something that you and I can't know spiritually. We can't get this unless there's a light that shines in our lives. The Bible says this in a number of different areas. Listen, first of all, familiar passage, I hope, to you, 1 Corinthians 2:14. A person who isn't spiritual doesn't accept the teachings of God's Spirit. He thinks they're nonsense. He can't understand them because a person must be spiritual to evaluate them. And again, in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10, but as Scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. God has revealed those things to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches everything, especially the deep things of God. Truth, especially the truth of how we are saved, the truth about life, has to be revealed to us. And that's only revealed to us by God the Holy Spirit working through His Word. Does this information or insight hold any practical application then, other than the fact itself that we want to know what's true and what's false? We want to understand this stuff so that we can go to heaven. Does it have any other application? Clearly. It ought to teach us, first of all, to be highly skeptical of our own natural ideas, our own perceived insights where we don't have God's Word, our own fears, our own ideas again. Here's where the problem gets worse, though, because our pride plays a role here, as in all things in our life. How does that happen? It happens when we learn, for example, that not everything that we believe to be real and true is false. In other words, some things are true. We believe them, and then God's word shines on that, illuminates that, and that is true. Okay, well, that's what I thought. What happens then? Pride kicks in, and we imagine that everything that then we imagine is probably true. That we're right about all things that we believe to be true, whether or not God's light has shone on that, illuminated that, told us that, or not. Because I was right about this, I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. I'm pretty sure I'm right about all things, or I wouldn't think those things. If I thought they were wrong, I wouldn't think them. And then we're walking in the dark and bumping into things that we cannot afford to bump into, or we're ignoring dangers that we cannot afford to ignore. I can handle this temptation. And you have no idea what's there in the dark. God said, ask me, I'm going to show you. I've told you don't go there. I've told you flee from those situations. Well, I'm pretty sure I can take care of myself. Well, I'm pretty sure the devil can take care of you too. The giant monkey wrench that we throw into this again is our pride. We imagine that we got a handle on all these things. And then building on that, our understanding of what's true, we build on that and we go to this, and then we get ourselves into a pretty ridiculous spot. Let me give you just one example of how the silliness compounds itself if we allow it to. You know of your God, you see, you recognize your God as a loving, kind, heavenly Father. That's how you see Him, and you're right about that. But now imagine that you wander out of the light of God's Word, and you come to imagine that, according to your understanding, wandering in the darkness of your own mind, you come to understand that this God, being a loving, kind, generous God, will in no way allow any human being, maybe the devil, but no one else, to suffer for all eternity a torment in hell. A loving God would not allow a creature to suffer for all eternity like that. You just bumped into something in the dark and you think it's a good thing. But I know this about my God. I turn here and I look and it says, God is loving, kind, merciful. So God also must, and here I wander back into the darkness of my own mind, my own ideas, my own logical inferences, and say, well, then God must not. Then, you know, if God doesn't want people to suffer, maybe there isn't a hell. Or maybe the hell is reserved just for the devil and his angels. Yeah, that sounds good. In fact, that's a win-win. That's got a lot going for it, doesn't it? Because then I don't need to feel so bad about the people I like, the people I love, my friends, my family. If they don't know about Jesus, I don't need to feel so bad about them because I want them to go to heaven. That's the upside. I want you to go back in your pew. I want them to go to heaven, but you know what? If they don't, and if I'm right about this thing that I think I've discovered in the darkness of my own mind, and there is no hell, then the downside is only that they go into an unaware non-existence. And that's not so bad. That's like you fall asleep and you never wake up. Where does that lead you then? That leads you to another place. You know what? Then mission work is not all that important. Well, you know, I still probably want to do it because I'd want the people I love to be with me in heaven, but, you know, there's no urgency. And the people I don't know, I don't really care. And the people I don't really like, I don't really want with me in heaven anyway. So, you see the trouble we've gotten ourselves into? Just from one seemingly little thing based on something that God did tell us about himself, we ignored the rest of it. We didn't allow his word to shine into that aspect of what we believe to be true. And we're carried off into things that can cost our friends, our family, our loved ones, their eternal future. Because then it doesn't really matter if I witness or not. Not really. It's not quite so urgent. And I will thereby have talked myself into withholding from them the thing that they need to be saved. And that little silliness becomes eternal damnation. This is not trivial, not by any means. This is exactly why the light we know as Jesus had to enter our world, isn't it? And exactly why we still need him to be shining on all of these ideas, to take every single one of our inclinations, our ideas, our perceptions, everything that we think to be true, and we have to shine that word of God's light on it. Because we can't find our way in the dark. And we don't even always recognize that it is darkness instead of light. And we can get ourselves and others that we love into a really bad place. And that's exactly why Jesus, looking out at the world, described it as he did in our text. That's why he talked about the darkness that is mankind, the darkness in which they live, and they can't find their way. There is a path. There is a path out of this life, but even now, Jesus Christ, the light, having come into the world, man can't find that on its own, on our own. As we were born in that blindness, that darkness. We can't grope even and find him. We read that passage earlier. Natural man doesn't get this, the way we're born from our mothers. We need it to be demonstrated, shown to us. And that's where we come to our text for this morning, this evening. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Even John the Baptist wasn't that light. Now, he could reflect it. He could point ahead and say, that light is coming. The one that will show you all these things. And then Jesus himself finally came. That's the next verse. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. This is the one that we heard in our scripture lesson. It said, I'm the light. And if you don't have me, not only do you not see me, you don't see God the Father, because I'm just telling you what he told me to tell you. You've got less than nothing. You've got eternal darkness and hell. And the tragedy was he saw so many that lived in that darkness, that rejected that light, that turned away from it, that didn't want it in their lives. Because as we read, their deeds were evil and they wanted to continue with their deeds. Now plug into that your own thoughts, your own prideful ideas of what's right and wrong. And don't turn from that light. Don't turn away from Christ, that light. Don't fail to hold that up, everything that we do. Not just, I've done it that way, so it seems like it's pretty good. I am a Christian, and this is in every aspect of our lives. How much do I give to the poor? What do I do? How do I spend my time? What do I watch? What do I read? How do I talk to my friends, family? What do I put on social media? All of that. We cannot, absolutely cannot find that light. We cannot know if what we think and do is right unless we let Christ shine on it. Beginning with the fact that though there was this path to God, we couldn't know it, but Christ was it, and he showed us the way. He is both the way and the light that illuminates that path. Man had no clue about, and how could we, but how to get saved, how to be saved, that we didn't have to pay with our own goodness. Another paid our debt for us, God's own Son, and that we don't even have to earn our way into that payment, because the Holy Spirit leads us to believe it's true, and believing it's true, it's ours, his perfection. This is again this brilliant illumination into which we had to be drawn by God the Holy Spirit. But that's where you now are. As we take for granted every one of God's gifts, don't take this for granted. Don't underestimate, don't downplay the importance of the fact that you have been given this light. You have not only been shown the path to life, it's not through your own actions, it's through the actions of Christ, trusting him for your goodness. You've also now been given that wisdom to understand, to discern between darkness and light, evil and good. And that Holy Spirit now lives in you that wills to do what God wants you to do. The spectacular gift Christ is from first to last. Christ as light creator, Christ as dark dispeller, Christ as a revealer of life. May God the Holy Spirit continue then to illuminate that one path on which he has already placed our feet. You know where you're headed. You know the path. God grant that this light of Christ continues to shine into our lights, dispelling every last shadow of darkness, part of our old Adam that still resides in us. Rejoice in that light until that faith that he's created in us is replaced one day by that brilliant light of Christ himself, whom we will see with our own eyes, not another. King of kings, Lord of lords, Christ our Savior, our light. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of Christ, our light, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Turn, if you would, now to the bulletins for this evening. We continue with a collect for peace. The Lord will bless His people.
The Lord will bless His people with peace.
Lord God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto Your servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be prepared to obey Your commandments, and also that we, being defended by You from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in peace and quietness. This we ask through the merits of Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Savior, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the light that You have given to us. The light is Your Son, Jesus Christ. You have, through Him, paid the sin debt that we ourselves owed. We personally. Help us to remember that each time that we see sin in our lives, to dread and loathe that sin, but also then to rejoice in the forgiveness that is ours for each one of our personal, terrible sins. Christ was punished for all. And then He brought the light of the knowledge of that path to heaven into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We thank You also for those who brought this word to us. Help us then to gain a sense of urgency, that we might be light bearers, that we might carry to others this illumination that they so critically need, those who are so tightly enshrouded in deepest spiritual darkness. Heavenly Father, we also rejoice that You have prepared for us an existence that surpasses all understanding. Help us also to thrill as we walk in this path of light that You have created for us and revealed to us. Keep our gaze focused on that brilliant light which we will all share, all who believe in Your Son Jesus Christ will share on the last day when You usher us into Your heavenly kingdom. There, You have told us, will be no artificial light, for You Yourself and the Lamb will be our light. No temple, for You are God, will be there. Then faith will become obsolete, for we shall see with our eyes. Then we shall know fully, even as we know in part and look forward now. Then we shall realize the full magnificence of what Your Son has done for us, not only saving us for hell, but opening the doors of heaven to us. Keep us focused on this path, we pray, during this distracted time, during this materialistic time. We pray that You would again allow us the wisdom to hold all of our thoughts and actions and ideas and perceptions to the light of Your holy word. Give each of us here this evening wisdom that we might know light from darkness and then drive that darkness from our lives. These things we pray, trusting that You know all of the other bad things that need to be purged from our lives. You know all the things that we need, all the things from which we suffer. You hear our very thoughts, and therefore with confidence we place them humbly and confidently before Your throne and pray finally the words Your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.